episode 170. Today is Tuesday, September 17th. Welcome to Steel and Naz. We're back again for another episode. We got Magic Mike. We got Steel in the building. Myself, Naz. You know, quite the deck of cards to unravel here as the Patriots lose a tough one in OT. Quick turnaround here. We're actually recording on Tuesday instead of we have a regular slot going Wednesdays because we are trying to get this out before the big Thursday night tilt on the road against the Jets. We're going to summarize, you know, week two. We got week three NFL picks, college football wrap up. Finally, Mike Steele has something to talk about with the University of Miami playing well.
A lot.
Although Garrett Cole is a big time coward from the Yankees. We'll talk about that a little bit.
We will. We'll talk about
that. Sean O'Malley, upset city from the Rob. You know, I'm going to keep continuing with Steele because he called it a mile away. We all kind of hyped up Sean O'Malley last week as second tier guys. And yeah, it really showed out.
That's a problem.
I want to give a big shout out to the law office of Patrick J. Foley, our official sponsor. Magic's really decked out on tonight, and I respect the hell out of it.
I'm showing out for our sponsor. Yeah. Best sponsor in the
best
game.
Best in the game.
Best lawyer company in the game. Yeah.
Yep. You're looking for real estate.
That's a real estate advice. Law firm in the game.
Yep. Willard Street, Quincy, Mass.
Went by the office today. He's living good.
Yeah,
he's living good stuff. In that office. Shout out the big office purchase.
Any interns?
Nope. It was him and another guy in there, but looking like studs, looking like guys that get
And it was a business trip for Magic.
It was a business trip for me. Business trip for him.
Good for you hopping right on it.
Ask for an internship.
Well,
I was like, I showed up in my dirty paint clothes and I was like, maybe it's time for me to like clean up a little. Get me in here.
Did you need an accredited like college? Like you should have said like Bunker Hill or Quincy.
I got degrees.
Yeah, you got degrees.
I could do whatever that
degrees that we don't even know about.
Yeah, pays to pay.
I like the culture he's got going on over there. I could buy in. Easy. I'm coachable. I got that dog in me.
I love that for you. another note, we have an open sponsorship slot. So if any, you know, local businesses around there, if you're listening, you know, restaurants, you name it, landscaping services, we're here to help. You know, get the ad reads, get your names out there. Yeah, strip clubs, why not? you know, video, there. We'll do some content. We'll make it a good partnership. We'll have fun with it. What do you think, boys?
I'm
absolutely.
Yeah. I think we owe Pat a commercial if he'd ever let us make
it. Yeah, I don't know if he'd let us do it, but he comes in when he wants. He, you know, whatever he asks for, we try to get it done.
Like pretend we're like buying a house. I could be the realtor. You guys could be buying a house.
We'll talk.
The idea's flowing. That's freestyle, Pat. Yeah. Like that's.
I'll have to mix in some cuts from the real estate talk with those women on the martini.
Yeah,
that was good.
Yeah.
But we'll hop right into it here. The New England Patriots lose a tough one in overtime. The Seahawks, you know, sitting at 1-1 now. They, you know, a winnable game. Steele, what was your first take on the game itself?
Well, first off, I was shocked after all the slandering and just all the low expectations and everything. I was kind of fucking pissed we lost that game. Big time. I was so ready to go like 4-13 or whatever the hell. And like that, it pissed me off.
You had a chance to win. You're up three going down.
Some bad penalties.
They're playing a little too good.
Yeah, they could cut it. They tried, you know, 48-yard field goal got blocked and it really turned over momentum.
When did that happen in the game?
Like 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
That would have been go ahead or tying.
I would have put them up six, so you would have turned probably with like close to 2 minutes left. Seahawks would have to go all the way down the field to score a touchdown. Gotcha. Instead, all they had to do was kick a field goal to tie the game. Send an OT. The first quarter was, you know, they came out like a bat out of hell. Jacoby Brissett, I think, was 7-for-7 on the first drive, actually getting a receiver in the game. They ended up with only three receptions for 19 yards from the receiving core.
Yeah.
I mean, that's on both the quarterback, the receivers, the, you know, guys calling the plays, you name it. It's tough to really put a finger of one person of whose fault that is.
Mm-hmm.
That being said.
That's below mediocre for the record.
Yeah, yeah. But after that, you go. Yeah, after that. 7-for-18, 43 yards from Jacoby Brissett. They really weren't looking for guys downfield. I put a lot of that on the offensive line. A lot of guys going down hurt. And the defense really couldn't get stops on third down. They weren't come off on third down. Credit to, you know, Geno Smith played well. A lot of receivers around him. And Juwan Bentley is out, you know, possibly for the season now. So it's going to be tough, you know, swim back to a Thursday night game.
Yeah, and I mean, especially the later on the game went. Not that Jacoby was at any point going to look for them downfield to do that, but like the offensive line deteriorated throughout that whole game. Like he had no chance for a receiver to run like a full route down the field in the second half of that game. Like absolutely not a prayer.
A strike to Jalen Polk to start the game, followed by a quick someone lost their assignment, whether it's Christian Gonzalez, I think Jonathan Jones is over there. 50 something yard touchdown to DK Metcalf to really swing things back in the Seahawks' way. I have to give a big shout out because I've been negative on this team all year. Hunter Henry had a game of his, you know, Patriots career, 8 receptions, 109 yards. Just seemed like always had a lot of yak too.
Yeah, Gibson had a great game too.
Yeah, Gibson had a 50 yard run that. That was the thing with that drive, which was ultimately a big part of the game, the one where they got the field goal blocked. I think he had a 50-yard run to get them to the 30-yard line. And don't get me wrong, Stevenson's a dog, but they went away from Gibson, put him back on the bench, and they didn't really get any further after that. And just a big question for that, like AVP, like why didn't we go back to the guy at the hot hand? I feel like Gibson is a good enough back to where, you know, if he's hot, keep him in. And 11 carries, 96 yards. It seemed like he's, you know, a different type of element of running back than Stevenson.
Yeah, more speed of
a
guy.
Speedy, shifty. Well, Stevenson's just probably going to run you over, and he's got some wheels on him too. But, good game from the running backs once again. I think, obviously, that's going to be the strong suit of their offense this season.
Yeah, the downfall was one of our strong suits week one was abysmal, and that was the secondary.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, absolutely. Sucked. I mean, the pass you talked about, the DK Metcalf, sucked. That was awful. A bad play happens. A miscoverage happens. That's one play. They got smoked all day. Nah. They got annihilated all goddamn day.
Jackson Smith and Jigba, I think he had 12 catches.
I think he went like 12 and 120, and DK went like 10 and then like 130 or some shit like that.
That's unacceptable. That's not going to win you ball games. I said if you win the turnover battle, like it doesn't mean this team who doesn't have enough talent is going to win the game. They didn't win or lose the turnover battle. It was 0-0 technically, right? Like they didn't turn over the ball.
No.
Blocked field goal doesn't count as a turnover. That's just like...
No, it does not.
Yeah, so that's not going to tell the whole season. I think they need to get a little bit more aggressive. I think if you're a Patriots fan, you got to be happy with 1-1. You got to, although you're kicking yourself that you could be 2-0. But if you think they're going to, you know, spread it out with Brissett, if you think they're going to go down deep, they're going to take chances. And even himself, he's feeling that on his legs, you know, Drake May eventually going to be a starter for this football team. Like, what if he throws, you know, takes a couple chances downfield, a couple picks later, he's already out of the game. So that's got to be something at least in the back of his mind where, you know, I'm not going to take that chance where maybe a pop. There was a couple, you know, different videos I watched this week of Pop Douglas wide open. Maybe they take that chance because of, you know, opportunities he's getting with now turning over the ball.
I think it's going to be very hard currently for him to lose the job based on turnovers just because of the offense they're running. He shouldn't have a Bryce Young fucking god-awful game like that where he gets benched, like, with the offense they're doing. But he is very prone to getting annihilated because of opposing defenses.
He has to be dealing with an injury. He's been getting murdered.
Yeah. It's coming.
To the point of the preseason saying, don't play Drake May because of this offensive line. This is why. Brissett is getting blown up.
And he's running around.
Yeah.
Like, he's evading a lot of it. And he's running around, and he's still getting creamed.
And honestly, as much as I hate having a mediocre quarterback, like, that guy's doing the best he can.
You loved it last week.
I hate that this is where we're at. Oh, yeah, we're rooting for a mediocre quarterback. But this guy's literally doing the best he can.
He is, 100%.
He's going out there playing hard.
The fact is, if he played supremely mediocre, or whatever the phrase is, they would have won that game. He didn't even get to that level.
He
just needed to be awesomely mediocre They win that game.
I don't know. Tough pass interference in fourth quarter.
But he kind of does. To your point, does he even out? Because he played great in the first quarter, and then he played like even worse and mediocre the last three quarters. 7 for 7 with a TD. He came out that first drive was great.
Fair, fine.
He was great.
That's great. Great, I guess.
No, great. He was great.
How many yards did you say he got to receivers?
13? The last three quarters?
Yeah.
To receiver?
In the whole game.
Oh, no, but Hunter Henry had 109 yards. He dumped it out to running backs.
You can't throw to the same guy the entire game, though. I know, but I don't know. Eventually, that's going to not win you the game.
That's exactly what
that's
happened.
That's what Mike. I mean. He just wasn't mediocre enough.
Yeah, there were 40 receiving yards that weren't Hunter Henry.
That's not mediocre. That's like piss poor.
So here, KJ Osborne's a receiver. Jalen Polk's a receiver. Only two people who had receptions. Polk had two receptions for 12 yards, and Osborne had one reception for 7. So that's three receptions, 19 yards.
Not good.
That's not good enough.
I don't know if you put that all on him. I'm putting it a good amount on him.
Yeah, the secondary.
Like you said, if he's too pussy to throw a tougher ball because he's afraid of getting taken out. Like, I didn't think of that factor, that's a factor. That's bad.
That could be a factor early in the game. That like, the second half, he didn't stand a chance.
Yeah.
If he didn't throw, like, a quick pass, he was going
to
get killed.
And I hear radio, too. They keep talking, why don't they mix in more play action? I'm like, because if he tries to do the play action, there's already going to be three guys in front of his face by the time he fakes the handoff.
Yeah.
Like, that's why there's no play action.
So truly, the offensive line is...
It's very limited.
It's so bad that, like, that's probably ruining the team
the
most.
It's a little of everything, but, yeah, that's probably the biggest factor.
That's limiting what can be done, definitely. Gotcha.
Because I also think there is, even though that, like, we're blaming the offensive line, that the receiving core room is very young. It's not there yet. And
the offensive line, I mean, the running backs look great. Not that it's, I mean, offensive lines matter for that too. Yeah. They get running backs killed. I mean, the running backs almost had 200 yard backs.
I know. And that's what I mean. And they still didn't win the game. They had 180 yards on the ground. No turnovers. Yeah. I mean, I get it's unfair to compare it to like the Brady era, but if you had 180 yards on the ground from like LeGarrette Blount or something,
but let's look at turnovers.
Well, that's what you get into. The defense getting carved up. Yeah. It's like just like Geno Smith.
Yeah, and that's supposed to be their strong point.
Yeah.
Like the defense got to come to play. Like they have to be above mediocre, like legitimately awesome every game.
They make Geno look like Brady. Geno
looked incredible. And Geno is better than anyone in New England will ever admit because we survive. We watch like Jets era Geno, head. Bad. We'll never give him the credit. He is better than we give him credit for, but he looked phenomenal on Sunday. He's not that good. He is a Pro Bowler, though. He's made the Pro Bowl the last 2 years, I think.
So is Tyler Huntley, and he just got signed to a practice
Pro Bowl's a joke, but either way.
I know it is, but it's on a Wikipedia page.
Let's look at a positive here. They gave you a extra football. They made it to overtime. Like that, though, that's a win. You should be thrilled.
Just talk about the beginning of the day.
You should be fucking thrilled.
Me waking up Sunday morning being like, we have a football game to watch.
And you got
today.
A good football
and
game.
I think I expected a good football. I didn't expect them to get blown out. I didn't expect like,
but that's,
them
that's
to blow
literally
them out.
A down in the wire. Like,
oh, absolutely.
That's a great football game. It might have been boring or they didn't play as good as they obviously could have to win it. But like,
yeah, there's just
they were in the game the whole time. That's entertaining.
It's a shoulda, coulda, woulda. It's the girl texting you late at night and not getting there. You know, it's one of those things where it's like.
I always would get that.
He should be another big shout out. Keon White was unbelievable.
The Pat's got to get there.
Yeah.
I got to answer that text. And next week, let's just get right into it.
Yeah.
Do you expect a blowout on this one?
I mean, Thursday.
When's the mask going to come off? And the truth comes out that this team isn't mediocre, supremely
mediocre.
It's
not this Thursday night.
No?
It's not this Thursday night. Patriots on the road at the Jets. We'll get right into it. Jets right now are 6.5-point favorites. Juwan Bentley is out for basically the season.
Yeah.
A couple guys, City So. Guys on the offensive line that who are out, which I don't really categorize that as a huge deal. Because, like, the offensive line is so bad, give other guys reps. Like, if it's that bad, then how much worse can it get?
And the Bentley one, to me, it was initially said that, like, it wasn't that bad. And that ended up being a season-ending torn pectoral. That's like a crazy thing to tear. Like, yeah. I don't know how they, like, missed that.
I know. And then...
That's, like, not fucking... like, that's, like, a very, like, serious, like...
They said it's going to be a sub by committee. Raekwon McMillan's probably going to take his place.
But yeah, as a play caller, I think, as well.
The Jets haven't looked impressive yet. The Jets had a tough first game. They barely snuck out a win against the Titans. Aaron Rodgers carves defenses when, you know, they're losing, you know... Losing a couple guys here. I think it's definitely going to be a closer game. I'm going to take the Patriots spread to cover 6.5. But I think it's going to be another, you know, barn burner. Jets probably win 17-14. Even 17-13. I'll say 17-13.
I completely agree. Yeah. I definitely think it's going to be a close game. I think the Pats will almost definitely cover. When it's possible. Like, they'll be in this game. I think it'll be the same thing.
And everyone's saying, oh, quick turnaround for the team who just lost a guy. I'm like, I just looked at the Jets, like a couple of their guys, big guys on Jermaine Johnson, guys on defense didn't practice this week either. So they're in the same boat.
They're hurting as well. They're hurting as well. I think it will be a big statement to bounce back for our defense. You know, fuck it. 2017 Pats.
I like it. My big thing is that Jets rely
Steals buying in.
Yeah, Jets rely a lot on the running game, and the Patriots run defense has been really good the first two games. So I'm interested to see if
that
will
last. Keep that up without Bentley, though.
Can you get any pressure on Aaron Rodgers? You didn't get any pressure on Geno Smith this week besides Keon White making a couple plays. Going into New York MetLife, I'm pretty sure the last 13 games the Patriots have played the Jets, the Patriots have been favored in every single one of those games. Mm-hmm. And now it's a 6.5 point. 6.5 seems really high. I'm like tempted to take the Jets just because maybe they win by 7 and you get that cover. But I think it's going to be a 3-point game. The Patriots are doing well with not turning over the ball. I think that
it can change.
It's not going to be, that's not big in the win column, but in terms of being a tighter game, that definitely is. Brissett's got to show some more. I think they have to let it loose a little bit. Jets' run defense has been bad both games, especially against the Niners. I think they'll let up 150 yards to Jordan Mason.
Yeah.
So Stevenson should cook. That's what they're going to rely on. So we'll see what happens. And I'm hoping that it's a close game. I'm hoping they find out with a win, but I can never just easily take the Jets in any game against the Patriots.
That's what I'm saying. I know it's Aaron Rodgers now, but it is prime time under the lights Jets.
I got them by 2 touchdowns.
Okay, 2 touchdowns?
Yeah. Minimum.
Do you think Pat Foley's a Jets fan? Look what you get on here.
He definitely is. He's Jets got them going to the Super Bowl.
Jets colors.
He told me, I asked him today, you worried about the Patriots? He said, absolutely not. They're fucked.
You think I can get it?
I think you're nuts.
You think I can fill it in already that Pat Foley for our Thursday night picks is going to take the Jets?
100%. That's a fact. I will be as well.
I mean, the Patriots have a hell of a schedule coming up. So they get the Jets this Thursday. The following Sunday, they play the Niners, who are coming off a tough loss.
Here comes the slide.
And then the Dolphins, who, you know, just lost Tua. That's a winnable game without Tua.
Who's their backup?
Skylar Thompson, as of now, just signed Tyler Huntley. Texans have been looking pretty good, followed by the Jaguars, and then Jets again. Realistically, I'm gonna throw this out right now. If the offense still looks pretty bad, you know, next week and the week after. I mean, the Niners, I'm not counting on the Patriots to really even be in that game.
You do not like continue.
Okay, I could easily see Drake May's first game being at home on October 6th against the Miami Dolphins.
I was going to say yes. I was like, you can't, unless something happens, it's got to be Brissett this week, and you can't have his first start be against the 49ers.
No, you can't. No way.
So that would be the earliest.
But I think that's a demising game. If Brissett goes in, gets lit up by the Niners, okay, let's reset 1-3 going home against the Dolphins, who also have a backup quarterback going. You have a chance to win the game. And, you know, there's a sense of excitement that's not there. I saw something from Dan. I know Dan Shaughnessy's, you know, kind of lame, but he said the game's at 8:15 Thursday night. This offense is already pretty boring by halftime. You know, people are going to get ready to go to bed. Bring in some excitement. Bring in the unknown.
This Thursday? Drake May. This week?
No, he's just talking about how it could be a boring game with the offense. But I'm saying the Dolphins game on the 6th is a realistic chance that Drake May could. He's getting 30% of the snaps at practice. So
yeah, he's getting there.
I hope it happens, but we'll see.
And now you had said the Patriots are fucked, quote of Pat Foley. Mm-hmm. I saw on his computer a picture of Bryce Young. No team, I think, since like either the 0-16 teams are as fucked as the Carolina Panthers.
Are they that bad?
Oh, yeah.
They've already benched the number one pick from last year.
And they traded away the...
Like, they're fucked for like maybe... Like years, they, like not just like this season.
Yeah.
The move their GM or whoever it was made that gave the Bears the pick last year, to get Caleb Williams, DJ Moore. There were a couple other picks thrown in just to get Bryce Young. And now it looks like he's going to be out of there. They've been outscored by 60 points. He's just too small, not seen over the line. He's getting exploited. I mean, team's not good either way. I mean, you look at this week. This past week's games, you got Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield, who were both on the Panthers roster 2 years ago. And they're both their, you know, careers going downhill. Buccaneers.
Watch your mouth.
Baker Mayfield. No, with the Panthers.
Sure.
Now Baker Mayfield is leading the 2-0 Tampa Bay Bucs doing great. MVP candidate, no doubt. took them in the money line spread last week. And Sam Darnold also 2-0. Yeah, it was big. Also 2-0. With the Vikings there. So seems like it's just a bunch of losers over there. Once you get out, it's like Cleveland, you know, once you get out, it's, you know, the shitville, things get better.
And I saw a thing where I was like, damn, because it was like, it was talking about Bryce Young being like the worst first overall pick of all time. And it was like, it might be there because like everyone that would be above him has like a drug habit or like didn't practice or something. Like he just sucks.
Stephen A. said
he's like a nice guy. Like he's just not playing well.
Stephen A. said today, hey, let's be real. Like Jamarcus Russell isn't even doing this bad.
Yeah. So I was like, that guy didn't watch tape, really didn't do anything. Yeah. You know what I mean? No, it's ugly. It's ugly.
Takeaway I saw from this week, you know, in the NFL, the Arizona Cardinals are looking pretty damn good. They lit up the Rams. They lost to the Bills last week, but putting up good numbers. I think Kyler Murray has like 7 TD passes already. Guy was hurt. And then Marvin Harrison Jr. came on, had 2 touchdowns and 130 yards in the first quarter alone. That's a team I'm looking at. This week I was looking at bets. I was just like, I forget who they're playing, but I was more on, there's a team that was like, oh, they could beat them, but I'm not taking anyone against Arizona anytime soon. They really fucked me up.
Okay.
Magic, did you see Minshew?
I didn't.
Took beat down the Baltimore.
I saw that. I did see that. I'm pretty glued into the football, at least scores wise. I might not be watching every game. I did watch the second half of the Pats.
30 for 38, 276. Minshew.
What was it?
30 for 38, 276 yards.
Okay, Gardner.
Tied the game up for Devontae.
That's a big win.
Yeah.
Baltimore frauds? Safe to say, yeah.
Early on, it just seems like preseason is bothering a lot of people because no one's playing anyone in preseason. I mean, I guess that's a different conversation for a different day. But then, you know, Lamar Jackson stepping in the third game one and not even make like hitting guys easy passes. Just seems like there's got to be some more preparation thrown into it. I don't know, man.
I think what's hurting both the Bengals and the Ravens being 0-2, which no one really thought they would be.
Yeah.
Is that the Steelers are 2-0 and no one thought they would be.
Yeah, there's a lot of
like record wise and shit like that. Like that's like they're not supposed to be there, but like they're not supposed to be there either.
I could see a lot of things reversing though.
Oh, definitely. I mean, like your season. Bengals and Ravens, your season is not over. No. I don't think
there's been some dog shit offense like in the NFL the first 2 weeks. Like I'll go out public apology, anyone who followed my picks this week. The Colts, they are now after week 2 on the no bet list. Anthony Richardson was fucking horrible. They made Malik Willis, who I think he had more picks than interceptions coming into this. They made him look like Jesus. Jacobs ran them all over. They won six. Packers beat Colts 16-10. I apologize to everyone in advance. Stay
tuned. That was your lock of the week, correct?
Yeah. I came out. We lost. It wasn't good. I blame the Colts. They're on the no bet list now.
Yeah.
They're on the no bet list.
Redskins, baby. It's mine.
Commanders.
I picked them in the survivor pool. Thanks to Steele's analysis. You said the Giants were terrible. I could have gone the easy pick. The Chargers. I wanted to live a little, and boy, did I! It was a tight.
It was a barn burner. Yeah, it was a barn burner.
If you ain't living, you're losing.
Who should I pick this week, boys?
We'll hop into it right away. So I'm taking Magic's fire early on, and the Buccaneers are playing one of the worst teams of football in the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
I'm taking Baker Mayfield 6.5 at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa to light it up, win by at least 7 points.
Lighten it up.
Easy lock of the week. Like, easy. And can I also, a quick question, when it comes to survivor pools, do you want to bet like your locks of the week, or is there strategy in picking like,
so this,
you want to pick like a shitty team like the Commanders and get them out of the way? Like, to,
yeah, the whole thing is you can't pick them twice.
I don't want to like pick the good team right now, right?
It depends. You just got to get to the next week.
Fair enough.
So that
half the people in the pool lost this week.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. That's a camaraderie about the NFL. Any given Sunday, like this week for a survivor pool, I would say
it was a shit show.
Yeah. I would say the Niners like are 7.5-point favorites against the Rams, but that's a division game. You know, all these things aren't sure things. Yeah. I mean,
the Bucs is a sure thing, but do I really want to? Do I want to use them in week two?
You could, a week three, but Minshew Mania.
Week two for the survival.
Mania is playing the worst team in the Panthers.
That's
Andy Dalton. That would be a good one.
Is that in Vegas?
That's in Vegas.
In Vegas. That's where I'm going. Lock of the week.
Yeah.
Lock of the week, 5.5.
They're that bad. Who's the backup?
Andy Dalton.
In Carolina?
In Carolina, yeah.
You have no faith in him?
No.
Zero.
It's 2024. No.
Yeah.
No.
He's a redhead, right?
Yeah. Absolutely not. He had a great run. He had many good years with the Bengals.
Bend him over.
That's a good pick.
I think I'm riding with Steele on that one for my survival.
Another one. This is towards Naz. Do you there's no betless Colts. Do you anti-bet them Bears?
Bears.
They're favorites. Do you go Bears as dogs?
Those are both on the not bet list right now. That's just a shit game.
That's a shit game, but that's what you live for at 1 p.m. on a Sunday.
You really do. Or you're waiting for that calzone to come by.
Exactly.
Some doobies. I don't know, man.
Doobies.
Good stuff.
Doinkers?
Twinkers.
Where you get it? Okay. Where you get a good calzone? Where's your go-to?
Since they closed Pizza Connection and turned into... It hasn't been yet, but you called Pizza Connection. Now it's a Domino's. I've been messing with Angelina's a little bit. The only one. But no, they have
in Quincy Center.
Quincy Center, yeah. They have like the, you know, how the Pizza Connection one was like all cheesy and on top. That it's kind of like that. So it was good.
Italian pizza?
No, I heard it's the same guys, so I should probably
Where's that?
Live a little.
It's in like like Welcome Young.
Oh, that place still exists.
Yeah.
Shout out. I remember I love Italian pizza.
Yeah, it's still out there.
Shout out that name.
Yeah.
I'd like to get them sponsored.
Sunday.
That place, I used to go there often.
Yeah, it's still there.
I haven't been in that little neighborhood in so long.
Got to get there.
Yeah, very good. Love that place.
That was a throwback. Blast from the past.
So there's a Sunday night and then there's two Monday night games. So Sunday night football is the Chiefs on the road at the Falcons. 3.5-point favorites against
the Falcons. Legit?
Against the Falcons. They got by a struggling Eagles team last night. They let them back in the game. They didn't kick a field goal early. That ended up costing them. Kirk Cousins had a hell of a drive to end the game. 1 minute. Needed a touchdown. Got in. Got 7. Got out of there. I still like Pat Mahomes here on the road. At 3.5-point spread. I think the Chiefs win by 7. But the Falcons are talented. They got players. Both sides. Jesse Bates makes a big interception on a horrible throw by Jalen Hurts. Drake London played well. Bijan Robinson, right?
Bijan Robinson.
Looking like one of the best backs in football.
He's very good.
Yeah. But I, you know, Pat Mahomes, I can't bet against him. I can't do it.
No. And Kirk Cousins, all the credit in the world. When we talked about Monday Night Football, I was like, primetime Kirk Cousins. Fuck him. Prove me wrong.
Proved you wrong.
It's not a fucking chance he does it 2 weeks in a row. Not a fucking prayer.
Good call.
Chiefs or Falcons?
Chiefs.
I don't really give a fuck about that game at all.
They usually do this week one, but week three, two Monday night football games. I am jazzed up for this. Mondays are the worst one of the worst days of the week. You're going to end up having sitting on your couch. They might even have a red zone for two games. Why not? That would fun. The good stuff. Jags at Bills. A pretty good game. Two good opponents. Bills at home, favored by 5.5. What do you like, Steele?
Bills.
Bills.
Yeah, Bills all day.
Clean sweep. The Jags kind of look like they're hurting. Not a good offensive football team right now. Josh Allen looking 2 weeks in, looking like an MVP candidate. Still 15, 16 weeks to go, but has limited resources, you know, with the wide receivers. James Cook is looking like one of the best running backs in the league as
Having a great start to the year.
I could see them win by 7, but also could be a close game. Point spread-wise, I'm signing with the Bills.
Yeah, you got it, because you can't have any faith in the Jaguars right now. Could it be kind of close? Could that happen? Definitely, but you can't have any faith in that team.
Bite the biscuit. Get it done. And then the finale of week 3, the Washington Commanders coming off their first W against the New York Giants are on the road against 0-2 Cincinnati. Cincinnati favored by 7.5 points. It seems like since he almost got there last week, played a really competitive game against Kansas City, loses at the buzzer. Obviously, the bad loss against the Pats. Washington coming in with nothing to lose. I think I'm going to side with at least Washington to cover the 7.5 point spread. I think it could be a touchdown. I think you could win by a half point here.
I think the Bengals definitely win that final game. I do think Washington covers, though.
Yeah. Washington didn't score.
I think under the lights, Jaden Daniels, the Bengals have looked shaky. They definitely looked a lot better versus the Chiefs than they did against us.
Have the Washington scored a touchdown yet? Because they had 7 field goals last week.
Yeah, they definitely did.
Which is incredible.
Jeez.
And they won. The Giants were the first team in NFL, or at least since like some crazy year, like 70 years ago, to score 3 touchdowns while the other team didn't score 1 and lose the game.
That's crazy.
Crazy stuff.
That's a wild. And when that's how your year starts, it's...
Wait, the Giants scored 2 touchdowns, you said?
3.
And they only got 18 points?
Yeah, because they went for 2 half the time. I think their kicker was hurt, and then they started going for 2 like idiots. That's just a bad football team. The Giants are at least the Patriots really is a little exciting.
I should have been out of the survivor pool this week.
That's totally on just like the franchise as a whole. Like, there's got to be a secondary place kicker.
Yeah, and it's
like a kicker gets hurt. Like, even for like there's no second person on your sideline. Like, you have like a 53
professional athletes on your team.
Someone should be able to hit the extra point.
Fuck, if myself,
if you need a 50 yard field goal, there's not a second guy on your roster that can do that.
That's fair.
But like,
you think
an
about
extra point?
Have a ringer.
Someone should be on there that can. One of your punters should be able to hit that.
If your beer league flag football team's kicker goes down, someone's going to step up. We're talking about professional athletes here. Like, someone hit a 33-yard field goal. I feel like I would have enough adrenaline to nail one.
If Malik Nabers got enough of a running start and his foot hit it perfectly, it definitely goes fucking 30 yards.
We got to put that to the test.
Anton wouldn't hit it. That's a damn sure.
He's tried and failed miserably.
Oh, yeah, that was a tough one. That was a tough clip. Clip that.
Yep.
We'll move on to college football. Skip the 5 questions this week because I didn't...
I didn't write them.
I didn't write them up.
You didn't write them?
I didn't have enough time, and we got a little streaky last week. I want to get away from that.
I'll see if I can come up with 5.
Yeah, you should. That'd be nice.
On the spot.
College football wrap up. BC covers
the
spread.
Right now.
BC covers.
Against Mizzou.
Almost pulled it off.
Yeah, they were up, I think it was 14-14 at one time. They led the game after first quarter. I'll tell you right now, Thomas Castellanos looking like the best quarterback at BC has had since Matt Ryan. Looking like a pretty good damn football team Bill O'Brien's got over there. Missouri is new to being in the top 10, get me wrong, but Brady Cook, I think, is one of the best quarterbacks in the country.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were there last year.
Yeah, and, you know, I think good showing by the Eagles. Eagles this week got the red bandana game, 8 p.m. against undefeated 3-0 Michigan State.
Might be there.
Might be there. Like swimwear.
What do you mean might be? It's sold out.
It won't be sold out. Never sold out.
I've been to that game like 3 times.
Okay. Tickets as low.
Of course. BC was not where BC is any of those 3
How
times.
How late will you decide?
The people are getting up for it, though. Tickets are as low, according to ESPN Vivid Seats here, $93.
Wow. I mean, the other times I went, those tickets were mass 30.
Yeah.
They were like Florida State in the U, so like they were like 30.
I don't know anything about Michigan State, but BC's favored by 6.5 points here.
Oh, yeah, BC. I mean, BC's played very good games against very good teams.
Yeah, and Michigan State has a win, a close win over FAU, a close win over Maryland, and then some team PV. I don't even know what that is. Prairie View A&M. So
I've
take
heard
that for what that's worth.
Great school. Great academics.
And then speaking, since we have to bring up the Florida State shit show every week, lost to Memphis this past week.
Beautiful.
Guy came out and said, well, what would you do if you lost to three straight powerhouses to open up the season? Georgia Tech, who hasn't been in a premier bowl game in years. BC, enough said. And then Memphis last week. Like, we're talking about Conference USA here.
Yeah.
Come on.
This was a top 10 team in the country preseason. Watching their demise has been amazing. I was watching.
Feel bad for Jameis. I just
friends were watching LSU versus South Carolina. They had money on it, and like it was like getting down to the wire, but like the timing of it was like different. And I was like, "You guys put Florida State's demise on TV for me right now." I was like, "You guys have like a quarter left. This game's down to like the final." I was like, "Let me watch them choke and lose and just like crumble." And it was beautiful.
The South Carolina game, guy missed the field goal to end it, right? Mm-hmm. There's something bad like that. Yeah, that's a tough L. That's a bad beat. And then we had a 62-0 win from University of Miami.
Yeah.
Cam Ward.
Heisman. Heisman, probably second in Heisman.
Let's see. Heisman odds, I'll go right now. He's definitely up there.
The only person above him would probably be Quinn Ewers, who just might have to take a week or two off.
He's first right now.
He's first.
Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe, Nico, the guy from Tennessee. I don't even know how to say his last name, but he.
Very good. I seen him play well. Ever.
Dylan Gabriel, pretty mid, like just probably going to stay at plus 900 all year. How about, so they play, there was on TV last week, they played like a UT, like sister school. Quinn Ewers goes down, Archie Manning lights it up. Five touchdowns, has a runaway 67-yard run, which said his speed on that was faster than any of Tyreek Hill's receptions this season.
Yeah, no, it's going to, like, two great quarterbacks. That makes it tough.
He's a future. I know the hype is real on, you know, Archie Manning just coming from the Manning family. But he's a redshirt freshman possibly playing behind the best, you know, quarterback in college. And Quinn Ewers, at least NFL prospect level-wise. This guy's going to play his sophomore and junior years at Texas and then go number one the year after. I mean, I think he's just a shoo-in to be, you know, a future quarterback that we see in the game.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that was a big deal when Quinn transferred from Ohio State because they were both in different recruiting classes, like number one, like quarterbacks. Like, yeah. It was like they had like too much.
But he showed, as good as Arch Manning played against a D1 subdivision team, I mean, Quinn Ewers was special against Michigan the week before. So if he's all right, he's definitely going to
get the go. Oh, yeah, he beat Michigan. Yeah, exactly. Like, just light up the other
just reminds me of Friday Night Lights. I don't know if you've seen the TV show when the new preppy kid shows up, plays over him now. You know the Friday Night Lights guy?
Big movie fan. Haven't seen the TV show.
Good TV show. Yeah, movie's great. TV show's just as good, though.
Okay.
2 cents.
Is Booby in it?
They have like a different form of Booby, if that makes sense.
Is he anywhere as cool as Booby?
No, absolutely not.
Then I don't give a
shit. Yeah, you shouldn't, yeah. Fair.
Don't compare.
But the biggest takeaway of last week's college football, Georgia might not be the juggernaut everyone thought.
Did they lose?
They only won by 1 point to Kentucky.
Yeah, it was a close game.
13-12.
But I feel like you're going to see a lot of that this year because teams aren't going to play their guys as much if they're hurting on the line, just because you can get into this playoff with two losses.
The third string of Georgia should be Kentucky by more than 1 point.
In football. Yeah, come on now. I'm just telling you how college football is just going to be different from here on out.
Yeah, but college football is also different, like exactly what you just said. Like Quinn Ewers fucking potential Heisman winner, like he's just going down for like next year's potential Heisman winner. Like college football is different, dude. It's not the NFL.
I know.
Your season's not crazy. Like over when a guy gets hurt. It's like, I mean, there are obviously examples where it is, but Georgia, someone gets hurt in Georgia, the guy behind him is a 5-star fucking, like, they'll be fine.
Yeah, they'll be fine. And Notre Dame, after losing last week, put up 66 on Purdue. So are they back? Maybe.
Well, that was one of those like Bengals versus like the Patriots when like, the Chiefs absolutely pummeled us in that game. Like, Purdue stood no prayer.
None. They said
Notre Dame was coming to absolutely play in that game. That game, if Notre Dame just beat Northern Illinois like they should have, that game probably like a 14-point win for Notre Dame. But yeah, fuck no, but Notre Dame was like, no, we're going to massacre.
So the only two teams that hadn't allowed a point going into last week, I saw this stat, college football, was Missouri, who played BC, and Purdue. And Purdue let up 66 points on Notre Dame.
Shit.
So now probably let up more points than BC the whole season.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Tough scenes.
Tough scenes.
Tough scenes.
Little baseball talk here. Gerrit Cole afraid to pitch to Rafi Devers. It's really all I have there. He said it. He hit him intentionally, and then he intentionally, first guy since 2016 on the Red Sox uniform, intentionally walks Rafael Devers with no one on base. Absolute
say
pussy.
Say that again. No one has been intentionally walked since 2016.
No, with no one on base.
Okay.
Like, so you're like, okay, you get the base because you could beat me.
I have said on record that Gerrit Cole is a pussy afraid of Rafael Devers, and this is a perfect way for a Red Sox fan like Adam to disguise that the Yankees just took 3 of 4 from the Red Sox and ended their season. Is exactly a perfect transition by him to make it not about like, oh, your season just ended this weekend because of Aaron Judge's grand slam.
Did we even have a shot?
Yes.
I mean,
it was a far shot.
What did I say?
It was not there.
I said, as long as the Red Sox get me to football season, I'm cool with it. And they did. Today, someone came out with an article, Roman Anthony. If the Red Sox can push up Roman Anthony, can the Red Sox make the playoffs?
Huh?
Playoffs? I'm just trying to win a damn game. Good gif.
I don't know. I couldn't be less tuned into what the Red Sox are doing. I'm glad I didn't waste a single minute of my time watching them.
I watched the only game I watched
like
this weekend.
It was on Apple
TV. It was on Apple TV the other day.
Well, so he subscribed.
The Red Sox?
Yeah, versus the Yankees.
Red Sox. He made money.
And again, the bullpen blew up.
His bad monkey.
Aaron Judge, it says, bases. So they loaded the bases. Of course, the bullpen did.
Yeah, I saw you had a little meltdown. You had a little meltdown on Twitter.
Yeah. Well, it said Apple, you know, but being smart, you know, how it goes. And it said 5% chance Aaron Judge hits a home run. I'm like, that's just bullshit. That's just fucking... Grand Slam, Yankees win.
What a hit.
It was a bomb.
Nailed it.
I mean,
it was sexual.
It's tough
really.
To hate Aaron Judge. Like, I don't hate Aaron Judge. You can't.
It's no, tough. You're a bad it's person. A other than like the shirt he's wearing, I get that from other fans of the franchise, but he's like a great guy like and a very good baseball player.
Is Gerrit Cole done if they don't win a championship this year? Is like he done with the Yankees?
God, no, he's one of the best pitchers in the game.
He's the reigning Cy Young winner.
What's his pussiness with Devers then?
He just saw
Devers owns
him. Devers owns him.
As for years.
Owns him.
Like years.
Like over 10 home runs. Smokes
Man up, Garrett.
Yeah,
I don't care about him versus Devers. I care about him showing up better in playoff games.
Yeah, I
don't give a fuck about Rafael Devers.
You're right. And now knowing what you just did to Steele, that was...
Yeah, could not
I got
care
what
less.
I could. I got in what I could. I already
that
said,
was a no, dig, man.
I yeah, already said, I already said, as long as they get a meaningful football season, I'm good.
Rear view mirror.
I'm good. Yeah. Down four games back with 12 left.
So you'll never watch another inning the rest of the season?
No, that's not true. I watched two tonight. They're fucking beating up on the Rays right now. What do you think?
Yeah. So you still are hopeful they might make
no,
the playoffs?
No, absolutely not. But I like a nice game of baseball once in a while.
Do they
nice
have any shot?
No, they're done.
No, it's really done.
No, down four games, 12 games ago. Even if you go 12-0, probably not going to get that.
I forget who the third wild card spot is in the AL.
The
but
Twins,
like,
they just keep losing.
Twins, okay. But
the
Orioles and Royals, very scary teams for those in the playoffs.
Oh, for
those
sure.
Those scary good wild card
good
team.
Pitching staff from the Royals.
Are you Yankees, I'm assuming, are first in the wild card? Or
first in the AL East.
No, first in the AL East.
They have taken control over the Orioles.
A shout out
by
I want to give.
A handful of games, I think, right? 3, 4?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's 3 at this current moment.
They're looking good.
Shout out the Chicago White Sox. They've won 3 in a row to go from 33 and like 115 to 36 and 115.
Who'd they sweep?
I don't know, but they're fighting back against being the worst team in the history of the league, and I respect you.
Like, that's the worst record?
It's like 120, and they have 115 losses.
Wow.
Like, I think the record's 120.
I would have thought it would be lower.
And they
that.
Said the record's from like 1875.
No,
I'm
like, the record, you don't want to touch that record. That's like an ugly, like you know what
so
I mean?
So they're literally like actually fired up to like when these. They,
no,
they don't
I don't
be...
think. I haven't seen them all. I just saw they won 3 in a row, and I was like, nice.
So they, so like, they didn't sweep anyone. They beat the A's the last two, and then they got the Angels last night. So they're beating up on bad teams, but whatever it takes, man. Like,
who do you feel? Who do you like going into the playoffs here?
I mean, Dodgers have the best roster, but it's all about getting honked the right time. Like Arizona came into Fenway like a month ago, and I was like, holy shit, this team's still nasty. Like there's a lot of teams.
The Dodgers were like just as good last year and got swept by the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, that's so what
like,
I mean. It's baseball's if you're hot, just
different.
You feel good about the Yankees chances or?
I like them. I don't feel fantastic. I like them though.
Okay.
They're going to have to. They're gonna
I'd
have
like to upgrade that to a love.
If they take down the Big Bad Wolf, they'll win it all. But I don't know, man. The Houston Astros the are bad back. Wolf? Houston Astros have been in ALCS 5 years in a row.
I am extremely and have been for like 3 years pretty much. Like I want the Yankees more than anything. Second under the Yankees is the field versus the Astros. I don't want that fucking team to win anything.
So
Yankees come first.
I'm down. Like my official bandwagon is gonna go to the San Diego Padres strictly
because they're in the mix.
They're gonna make the wild card. My guy Brian from San Diego lives right across from Petco Park. Gives me updates, you know, by day. Tell me who's up, who's hitting well, who should get down the minors, who you should get rid of. Good team over there. Fernando Tatis Jr. looking like a bat out of hell.
Is he a season ticket holder?
No, but he can. I think he can watch it from his balcony.
True.
Yeah. So, yes. Yeah. Respectfully.
So, shout out Brian from San Diego.
Yeah.
We miss you.
What else we got here? Bruins preseason roster came out. Jeremy Swayman wasn't on it, so we would be worried.
It's hit such a point, and it's still ongoing, that I'm not as worried as everyone.
Yeah, they said there's good talks, but he wants $10 million a year, and he doesn't deserve $10 million.
Wait, he might not be on the team?
He will be, but he's not under contract right now.
He'll be there.
But he wants $10 million, $8 million, I thought was pushing it. Yeah, he's holding out. I think like eight over eight would be good until he gets, you know, 33, get another good, you know, goalie around here instead of, you know, digging from the AHL. I'm telling you, that Linus Ullmark, that trade was a shit show. It gave Jeremy Swayman leverage being like, I'm the only goalie here now. And you gave Ullmark away for a bag of pucks. So,
like, no, you couldn't handle two Vezina potential goalies like worse.
No, really bad.
And everyone was like, "Oh, this
sounds bad."
Everyone was like, "Oh, we have two goalies. You got to fucking trade one." And like, look what you've done.
No.
We had two fucking Vezina level goalies. Yeah, you fucking dickhead.
I do agree.
Listen to fucking radio.
It has gone far enough to where they probably did have to trade Ullmark. But my I'm upset with obviously the haul they got back. Nothing.
Horrendous.
But they should have played the waiting game so they could get this contract done and then you send it out.
Yeah.
He's dumb. Dumb.
Now Swayman's got them in the palm of his hands. Is there any shot? Is he shopping elsewhere? Would anyone pay him $10 million?
No. Restricted free agent. Am I wrong? Restricted free agent. He has to talk to us.
Okay.
Unless they get him his full out release, but that's not going to happen.
That won't happen.
So explain that. Like, they can just be like, we're not going to pay you what we want to pay you. You're asking, so you can look elsewhere.
They could deal with him in arbitration, which is 1 year. You know, a 1 year stick, and then he would be an unrestricted next year. So basically, it's more or less like a franchise tag in football, but there's a little bit more that goes to it. They're looking for a long term deal here.
It's going to get done.
It's inevitable.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of making smoke where there probably shouldn't be. Hopefully, shouldn't be.
No,
and we'll see.
Be on the team. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be dope. UFC 306.
Avocado.
Steele was right. Sean O'Malley. Upset City.
The Sphere Fox.
Yeah, that
Sphere
was...
Sphere looks amazing.
The Sphere Fox.
What a place.
I was making an argument that it was better to see on TV than being in the nosebleeds there.
Absolutely. Like, probably worst. One of the worst takes I've ever heard in my life.
I stand by it.
Not there. No way. I stand by it.
I stand by it.
First of all,
I
would want to be...
Did you see all the shit on that wall, dude?
I'd almost
Are you fucking blind?
I did. It was great to see from the TV.
Do you know how cool that would have been live? Are you fucking crazy? You saw that on a screen the size of fucking what we're looking at right here.
No, we had a pretty good screen. We did have a decent size projector. Shout out our guy.
You get what I mean with what I'm saying.
No, 100%. I mean,
that was a fucking wall that did that, dude. That was a building.
You could barely see the ring. You could barely see the damn ring.
Grow the fuck up, dude. What?
I personally... If I went to that event, it would. If I go to the Sphere for anything, it's going to have to be for the video screen.
Yeah.
Why don't you go to a fucking EDM concert then instead? Spend fucking half the money.
Huh?
Fucking seeing some bright lights and
You're being such stuff. A. You are being such a yeah, Dan Shaughnessy fucking old school loser right now. I'm dying fuck by you, my take. Dude.
As a big UFC fan, why wouldn't you want to? Like, if that, let's say that is literally the only time they ever do it there. Like,
I've seen a live UFC at Madison Square Garden. It was awesome. If the entire fucking background was going crazy shit, it would have been so much cooler.
What if it was just porn?
I always said that, yeah. I think that would be...
You would have missed it.
It would be electric if they had the AVNs. If they had the AVNs at fucking the Sphere,
that would
next
be.
Level.
Wait, I think that sounds like a possibility. Like legit Vegas,
next level. Is wild.
I don't know if the porn industry can handle whatever the fuck it costs to perform in the Sphere.
But
I wouldn't... They nailed it. That was the coolest shit I've seen from the UFC in a long time. Like, the video, it's insane.
No, that was
Sean O'Malley sucks though.
No, he got beat up.
Terrible.
It was
what a joke.
Mirab attacked.
Disgrace to Happy Dad.
Mirab did what every good fighter does nowadays. Just fucking doesn't make it like at this pretty show. Just fucking survives, advances. Not even survives. He just survived the fucking five punches.
Yeah. You're saying survives. He won.
Yeah.
Sean O'Malley did nothing to the last 2 minutes of the fight.
Mirab kicked his ass. Yeah.
I was down more with my girl Valentina Shevchenko, just overtaking the belt.
Like same thing.
Domination.
Yeah.
Five rounds. Trying to remember the other fights. It was pretty bad.
Diego Lopez, I was shocked by because
he beat up the
I thought he could win versus Brian Ortega. He pummeled Brian Ortega. I didn't know he'd kick his ass.
And the fight before that was very good.
Zell Huber, that was the fight of the fucking year, potentially. That was legitimately the fight of the year, maybe. That was an absolute scrap.
Anton had a nice win.
If you were too banged up for that, rewatch that fight.
I'm probably gonna because
it was fight of the year.
I had money on all these. I was just going bang to bang. I only lost one of these. And
Ribovich, that fight was incredible. They just scrapped. That was what I do in the UFC video game.
I lost a Zell Huber, but I won the last three. So I was big. I had Lopez, I had Shevchenko, and I took Mirab.
That's also why that one's gone from your mind, isn't it?
Yeah,
Anton beat you.
I also give Mike Steele some credit because everyone was like, Sean O'Malley. And then he kind of got in my ear being like, he's kind of one of those guys like the Volkan loss. I was just like, he kind of is just quietly beating these people. And then he gets to a big fight. Sean O'Malley has actually had besides the Sterling knockout, he's had problems against most of the, big time names that he faces. So I was like, take Mirab. He's a slight underdog and made the most of it. So credit. I should have gave you some money still.
Should have.
Probably
still
not
time.
I'm good.
No, I mean, yeah, Jan was the biggest fight between both of them. I mean, Jan beat O'Malley. Like if you watched that fight.
Yeah.
And he got smoked, and then Mirab kicked the shit out of Jan. he did the same thing to Jan he did to Sean O'Malley.
Did Sean O'Malley bounce back from this, or is he on a
They said he's not going to fight. They said he's not going to fight for a little bit, but
hip surgery.
I'm sure he won't fight Mirab his next fight. I'm sure it'll be someone else.
Won't fight Mirab or will?
Won't.
Won't. Mirab will definitely defend that title before Sean O'Malley's back. So that will
who's next up in line?
They want Usman Nurmagomedov, who I don't think has even fought in the UFC just yet. But he was a big Bellator.
And he's just
going to
get a shot at the fucking belt?
He's undefeated. I mean, did you not hear his name?
Is that Khabib? Yeah, no, is that Khabib's brother?
He's part of it. Okay. I don't know if he's brother.
I don't even know if any of them related. They just
part of
the clan.
Yeah,
it's like
yeah,
a tribe
like
name. Yeah, it's a fucking tribe
there.
Name.
He's up there. We'll find out right now. He just got suspended, I think, for something. Well, that's another guy.
That's good street cred. If you don't get suspended from the UFC, you're kind of in the minority. I don't know.
What are some other possible big fight? Who are the big UFC guys left now? I'm running out of names.
There's a big one coming up. So the next one is UFC 307. It's going to be Alex Pereira.
Roman has fought several times in there, and he's not fighting them.
Yeah, Alex Pereira fights once a month, so he'll be in 307. There's another one coming up. I'm trying to think which one it was. Okay, yeah. So October 26th, you have Ilya Topuria, right? That's the name?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He beat Volkan. He's going to fight my favorite UFC fighter of all time, Max Holloway.
Ooh.
And probably kick his ass, but Max Holloway puts on his show, so never know what can happen. Robert Whittaker is going to fight Khamzat in the undercard, and then you also have Gane, is it Gane? Gane. I've seen him fight.
Cyril Gane.
Gane. I'm bad with UFC names, but I do watch Volkov. So that's a good little three.
That's
there.
A good card. Yeah. I could have sworn I saw another card.
That one's early too, isn't it?
John Jones is fighting soon, right?
There's Abu Dhabi. So yeah, 2:00. Yeah, this afternoon.
That's great. We love that. John Jones, I saw.
Also, that's the day that you destroys Florida State. Oh, wow. Just want to throw that out there. That could be a huge day for me.
Oh, and to Magic's point, it has been scheduled. UFC 309, November 16th. John Jones against Stipe Miocic.
Day after Jake Paul Tyson.
Is that it?
Definitely, yeah. Definitely reason behind that.
And then you have Charles Oliveira against Michael Chandler. Should be a good fight. Then you got my boy Bo Nickel stepping on against Paul Craig.
Good fights. The fight that McGregor was supposed to be in against Chandler?
Yeah, it's just not going to happen. I don't know.
Damn, that card would have been legit. That would have been maybe one of the best cards ever.
Even some back in the day buffet that the fifth fight in that card is Anthony Smith versus Dominic Reyes, which both have fought for titles before.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Chris Weidman in the undercard. I mean, I've seen that guy shatter his leg, so in person.
So we got some three good UFC cards in a row.
Coming. Yeah.
And Tyson, Jake Paul, if you give a shit about that.
I'm
looking forward to it.
We'll see. You see Brady with Tyson?
No.
They were at the Cowboys game. Nice little firmly grasped handshake in the middle of the field. It was great.
Love to see it.
Just two champions, two goats.
Yeah, two fucking
just chopping it
legends,
up.
Yeah.
Probably asked them for some money by the time he left, Mike Tyson, to Brady.
Maybe not.
Good stuff.
Owns a tiger.
I got a movie review.
Ooh.
Or not review, but recommendation. Rebel Ridge.
I watched that yesterday.
What a flick, huh?
Yep.
Great flick. Stuff. Great flick, boys.
For a Netflix film?
They were against the guy the whole time.
Like top notch.
He really,
Cinema.
I think. Am I not saying
it? Cinema label?
Am I not saying that, Ness?
All right.
Jason Statham, right? That's the guy from Crank?
Yes.
Yeah. Essentially, that guy played Jason Statham.
Cinema.
Essentially.
Better, I think.
Yeah, Crank 2 is cinema.
It was good. It was for like a Netflix movie, that was good.
It reminded me of that movie Reptile. Like when you said Reptile was wicked good, and that I was like, good. It's a Netflix movie? All right, I'll give it a shot. And it was very fucking good. It's kind of the vibe I got on this one.
Did I mention the Perfect Couple? Did I mention that?
No, but no. I watched it solid.
Yeah, it was pretty solid. I had to look it up to remember the name. Basically, just like a murder mystery.
I love a murder mystery. I love a murder mystery. I don't give a fuck what's going on.
It was like
the background reason of it.
Yeah, they have a house in Nantucket. It's all based in Nantucket. It's Nicole Kidman, Leif Schreiber, my guy. Ray Donovan, I mean, great show.
Yeah.
Basically just a murder mystery. Kind of looks like The White Lotus, if you've ever seen The White Lotus. Yeah. It's got similarities to that.
Good call,
but definitely good watch. Now, if you're going to sit down there, no football on Wednesday, Friday nights, get after it. 6 episodes.
I was expecting a chick flick, but yeah, murder mystery.
All right.
I'm hooked.
And yeah, just my only teaser was Leif Schreiber just burns it down. And I love that.
Yeah, he does.
He burned it
the
fuck down.
He loves to smoke some twinks.
Oh, yeah. He's twigging hard.
I can't believe you called smoking the twink. I don't know.
I was just talking gibberish at that point. So it was good.
He was doinking. He was doinking the whole show.
I love it. Episode 170 in the books. I want to give a big shout out to our sponsor, Law Offices of Patrick J. Foley. If you're looking for,
go get the gear.
Yeah.
Go rep a law firm out in the streets.
Go do it.
Go for the,
Merch is live.
Be a person of honor.
Go for the law advice, stay for the gear.
Yeah.
Very
good quality on the shirt.
On the same note, if someone's defending me or whatever, law, I wouldn't rather have anyone besides Patrick J. Foley.
Facts.
Guy is a warrior.
Facts.
If you need him there, he'll be there before you.
100%.
Help me get a job there, folks.
And hashtag magic for intern.
It's my turn to be an intern.
I think we'll end on that. We'll see you next week. Go Pats.
Let's go. Fuck the Jets.
Go Jets.
The new year is almost here, and if you're looking to shed off some holiday pounds before beak season, well, look no further and head on down to Slight Edge Fitness Performance, located at 101 French Avenue in Braintree, Massachusetts. Owned and operated by our guy, Quincy legend, Craig Kelly. You will be assured that you are getting the best training around. They believe in only the highest standards of physical fitness training and have been leading the charge at their state-of-the-art fitness facility since 2020. Their staff is actively enriching the lives of members and creating a community of like-minded people who love being healthy and strong. They are helping you to get in shape and teaching you how to maintain your health and fitness. Group fitness classes as well as one-on-one personal training sessions are available. Make sure to visit slightedgefit.com and also follow them on Instagram at slightedgefitness and set up a consultation today. If you're looking to get back in shape or trying to get a slight edge on the competition, this gym is for you. Check out Slight Edge Fitness and Performance, located at 101 French Avenue in Braintree, Massachusetts, and tell them the boys from Steel and Naz sent you.